you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment, no maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scars. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
The lack of six pack is really showing today.
You did have 10 mini corn dogs for lunch.
I'd do it again.
Roll the intro.
Hey guys, what's up? It's been Wild Wild 9. I'm your host, Lord DIY.
I feel like you're yet to start the podcast in like a real way. It's like either I start or you start, but it's like in the voice of making fun of me.
Making fun of? Hey guys, welcome back to Wild Till 9, your favorite fucking podcast. Like, subscribe, roll, rate, get on the ground, do everything that requires signing up so that way when you lose interest in us, we keep in your inbox anyway.
There was an earthquake the other day, a 4.8, so like medium sized. It feels very large to me as like a non-Californian and also being like a panicky person. And I tweeted something about like how on the East Coast in Canada, we don't learn what to do during an earthquake. And I was like, yeah, we only really learn stop, drop, and roll for like fire. And I got so many tweets about how it's so deeply ingrained into our pod listeners' brain now about stop, drop, roll, and rate the podcast. Now that they associate stop, drop, and roll more with the podcast than they do fire safety protocol. So I do just want to reiterate that is stop, drop, and roll actually still relevant? Like, you know how they changed the Heimlich remover too? Did they update that?
Did you just call it the Heimlich remover?
What is it?
Maneuver.
Shut up right now. Is it actually? Stop it right now.
That's a new one.
I'm crying. Shut up right now. It's not.
That wasn't even a Freudian slip. That was, because I understand you want to remove whatever's lodged in your fucking throat.
It's not the remove.
Knee sweat coming out of your eyes today.
Holy shit.
Comment below if you thought it was the Heimlich remover. Or if you too.
I have literal tears rolling down my face right now.
Oh.
Sorry, babe. You gotta carry the podcast right now. I have to wipe the tears off my face.
So this one time at band camp.
Holy shit. I can't. Oh, God. I literally made like tear roll marks down my foundation.
You're still beautiful, though.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe for my 27 years of existence, I thought it was a Heimlich remover. That is the funniest shit that's ever happened live, you know, on the podcast.
Maybe I'm wrong. Let's take a quick look.
No, I don't. Maneuver sounds right. Wow. Honestly, you can't even plant a joke that good. Oh, you're so welcome. That sometimes my stupidity and just like lack of general knowledge of vocabulary is highly entertaining. Wow, that was funny. Oh my God. Please tell me it's not the remover, is it?
No, it's certainly not the remover.
Well, you know, the literal definition. Oh my God.
Something we didn't cover a couple weeks ago that I think you should have.
Yeah.
On the sexting game.
Uh-huh.
Would you, if financially strained, or fuck, even if you're not financially strained.
Yeah.
Would you sell feet pics?
Yeah. Yeah. No hesitation. For sure. I really feel as if that's like a win-win situation.
No,
like,
I agree.
If there's a buyer who's interested, because that's what they're into, like there's no shame in that game. And then if someone gets compensated for that, like I don't feel like that's, yeah, no. I think that's a win-win situation for all parties.
Are you someone who's grossed out by feet?
Yes. Yes.
Do you
yes.
your own feet?
I feel like the relationship that my feet and I have are okay. They definitely don't go to Cabo like my spine does, per episode 5. But you know what? I think that if I had gross feet, I would be more grossed out by them.
I guess the thing is, like, I don't think that I have cute feet by any means. Sure. I've seen worse feet.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyone who'd be willing to pay money for my feet, right. I'd be more concerned with where they're at and mentally. Like, you know, you want to talk about it? Is everything okay?
Yeah. Yeah. We do have one friend who has a foot thing. And we do have a friend.
Yeah. I thought to myself, I was like, I don't have friends with foot fetishes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
And it's so interesting because this is like, it's never ending entertainment for me personally. I'll show him the hottest girl in the entire world. But like the second toe could be a little longer than the big toe. And he's like, he can't see past it.
Yeah.
He literally can't see past it. It's so insane.
Not to mention... his feet are fucking gross.
His feet are nasty.
So
his feet are, and also too, just even as like my friend, if my feet aren't like looking, you know, pedicured and nice, he'll respond to that story and be like, bruh, nasty.
Yeah. Like get that shit taken care of.
Yeah.
Before you post any more pictures.
He's kind of a foot bully to his friends. I feel like
he's a bit of a foot bully.
Yeah. Like a foot police.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So that's just, wow. We were just all over the map. I feel like my eyelash is popping off now that like I just cried. Oh, I cannot believe.
And what's funny is like, you can usually find a group of individuals who are equally as, similarly minded on Google. And when I popped in Heimlich remover,
yeah.
Let me tell you, barren wasteland.
Really?
Yeah.
Heimlich remover. It's not there.
No.
Wow.
No, it's not.
Heimlich maneuver. You're so right. Heimlich. Yeah. It's not. Definitely not. Heimlich remover. Heimlich remover on dogs. Heimlich remover on baby. It has been Googled before. It has been Googled, and I just, you know what the questionable thing is that like I Googled Heimlich maneuver not that long ago because I wanted to, Moose like choked on his food just from eating too fast. And I was like, oh, I should definitely like just for the future, like know how to do this on dogs. And so at some point I would have had to Google it. And I guess just nothing clicked. Anyways, welcome back to the podcast. What a fun little intro this has been. Wow. That was just all over the place. Let us know if you would sell your feet pics or how you feel about that in the comments.
That's what we want to start the call to action with.
Yeah. That's like a genuine, I'm just like genuinely curious.
Actually, if you would sell feet pics or if you wouldn't sell feet pics, I just want a yes or a no.
Right.
No context.
Yeah. Just no
yes,
context.
Yes, no. And we'll know.
Right.
We'll know.
Oh, and if you do sell feet pics, feel free to elaborate.
That's very counterintuitive to what I just said instruction wise.
Okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
Fine.
I mean, well, you can go with that one. Just have to pick one or the other.
Oh, let's go with yours.
Okay.
Just leave us a yes or no in the comments. Mm-hmm. Yes or no if you would or would you would not.
Right.
Because personally, I think it's a no-brainer for me, but maybe other people don't agree. I don't
know. No context feed picks?
No context feed picks. Yes or no. Let us know.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got anything else this hour?
Oh, that's about it. Thanks, guys. I cannot believe it's not Heimlich remover.
We've got to move on.
My mom is going to love that. She's going to cry at that point.
We have to move on.
I have this weird thing where I have a few choice words that I have trouble saying for some reason. And in my brain, it sounds the same as what I'm supposed to be saying, but I just put the emphasis on the wrong part of the word, but I don't hear it.
This is about a ongoing series of Lauren's brain having a fun field day with facts.
Right. No, it's me against me here. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. There's no one else in this game. It's me versus me, and I don't know. It's a lot.
Maybe they call it the Heimlich remover in Canada.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's just Heimlich remover here.
I don't think so. See, the problem is that we keep saying Heimlich remover, so it's re-putting it, reinserting itself back into my brain to be correct, and that stresses me out a little bit.
Okay.
So I need you to not use the R word when we say Heimlich blank maneuver. It's only maneuver.
Heimlich maneuver. Got it. Now that we've talked about the Heimlich remover.
Babe!
What? I want to talk about a very, very, very serious and important topic.
Yeah.
Your wiki feet.
Oh my God. Let me just check before I state that I have 5 stars.
And have we covered this in the podcast already?
Okay. So in like episode 1 or 2, we touched on it quickly and we're like, guys, it's maybe a little too early in our podcast career to talk WikiFeet.
But now
I think it's time.
A few short weeks later, yeah, here we are.
Here we are. Let me just double check that I still have 5 stars in case I've been demoted to a 4.9. I'm so sad. Okay, so 247 people have rated my feet at an average of 4.9.
I think we probably should maybe share a bit of context on WikiFeet and just not assume everyone in America knows what it is.
They have my shoe size wrong. Okay, so WikiFeet essentially is, I don't think by association related to Wikipedia in any way.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's not.
You don't think?
Yeah, I'm going to hazard a guess. And if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me.
But I mean, same idea of like a crowdfunded library of photos and information, no?
I think it's crowdsourced, not crowdfunded.
And I guess that's fine. Well, you know, Wikipedia sometimes does ask for crowdfunding as well.
Right, well, yeah.
Anyways, so WikiFeet, their tagline is the collaborative celebrity feet website. So basically...
It's like famous birthdays and Wikipedia got together.
Right. And just post photos of your feet on your profile and rate them. Luckily, I don't think there's a comment section. Let me double check. Yeah, there's not. So it's just photos of feet. And the scary part is a lot of the times they will just crop your feet out of photos that you've posted.
No context feet.
No context feet. Yeah, they've cropped your feet out and they post them for people to enjoy. See, here's the thing, is that like, I'm not getting paid for this and my feet are being exploited, so I think that I should have a piece of this profile, right?
Well, let's start the justice campaign now.
Justice for my feet, justice for Lord DIY's feet. Yeah, wow, this is like, and you know what, a lot of these photos I'm like, I didn't even realize my feet were in this photo.
You know, I don't think that you realize just how important feet are until you have a foot fetish.
I agree. You know what, I've never actually thought of feet more than I have then after becoming friends with our friend the foot police.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you agree with your score?
You know what? A 4.9, I would take it. I would say that like my feet are, rating beautiful feet. It shows 5 stars, even though I do have a 4.9. It shows 5 stars. They have me as a shoe size 7, birthplace Canada, birth date 1993-08-11. Oh my God, feet rating stats. Okay, so 247 total votes. Beautiful, 166. Nice, 43. Okay, 26. Bad, 7. Ugly, 5. I'm offended. You know what? I have okay feet. But I wouldn't say they're ugly or bad. That's like really mean. I love how like this type of hate like actually hurts me more than like someone telling that my existence is like a waste of space.
The reason I wanted to like not let that moment die is that I want everyone to understand in real time what it feels like to really read the comments that hit hard.
Yeah, no, that's. I accept the okay rating and nice, and obviously the beautiful rating. But I accept the okay. I mean, like I feel like my toes have like a nice descending size, like. You know, I feel like that they're supposed to. A lot of people have that second toe that's like kind of like a little weird little long finger.
Mm-hmm. I saw a diagram one time break down how if one toe is bigger than the other, that would be an indicator as to the man's dick size. And so like any normal man, I took out my penis and looked at my feet and judged to see whether or not it was correct. I don't remember if it was correct.
That is the worst ending to the story in the entire world. I need you to follow up next episode with the actual answer to that. Oh my God, my friend, this is over to the vagina.
Why is there no wiki dick?
That would be called pornography. That's what we call pornhub.com.
Yeah, but there's no like rating
section. Redtube.com. Are you kidding on porn?
But like, I'm saying just like straight up just profiles.
Oh, of dicks.
Can you imagine they just crop of a video, just the dick
just
out?
Just the dick?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do on WikiFeet. Right. Okay, so anyway, my friend the other day, this is so interesting. I forgot to tell you this the other day. So obviously females are all like, we have the same parts, but they're not, you know, all the same distance and size and like how people orgasm versus like if you can come just from like sex or if you need like clit action and stuff.
I can't wait to hear where this one goes.
Oh my God. Okay. So I have a friend who can only orgasm through sex and she like doesn't want her clit being touched at all whatsoever. Also PSA, this, we are now headed in the sex direction. I'm not going to lie. We had this podcast planned zero on the topic of zero sex things. Yet here we are.
And then Craft Girl grabs the wheel and says, right on to Clit Town.
Right. Just a quick little detour. We'll go back. We'll go back. So this is so interesting. And I forgot to follow through with like figuring this out. Anyways, so my friend can only come from like sex. And I personally need a little more action in other places. Clit Town, basically.
Feet Town.
Nope. That's our friend, the foot police. Anyway. She said that she read an article that if I'm going to mess this up and have to follow up next week, this will be our starting topic. We're going to follow up on both
this
these measurement
might
things.
Be a starting topic or might not be mentioned.
No,
at
it
all.
Will. It will. That if
check
the distance,
footnotes.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was good.
It wasn't. Okay. So the distance between your, Jeremy hates the word like vaginal canal.
No, no.
So the opening, the insertion area, the distance between that and the clit is, I guess, can be different. And one distance, like shorter, means that you, I can't remember which one's which, but like, if
I feel like the story's going so far.
You know what? Maybe I should text my friend and figure out what the actual thing was. Anyways, I think it's like if it's over 3.5 centimeters, it means that you tend to need more like clit stimulation to orgasm. And if it's under 3.5, you don't, or something like that. I will follow up with the exact measurements and I will measure myself as well.
Girls with rulers everywhere. Just
no, I'm not even kidding. We were at lunch and she was like, we need to go home and like measure and let each other know because we have both sides of the spectrum. So if it does prove true, that's 100% accuracy rate between the two of us.
I want nothing more than to have something to add to this conversation.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm kind of an awkward bystander.
Okay. Well, anyways, I'm going to follow up. I'm going to find the exact measurement. It's over or under 3.5 centimeters. And
I don't even know how long a centimeter is.
Oh, yeah. Wait, actually, yeah. Because that was my American friend who said that. It wasn't a Canadian friend who mentioned that.
We accept centimeters here. We just do that stupid fucking imperial system.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to follow up on all of these things. I really think that I have a rogue eyelash now after I just like cried laughing. Okay, so we're gonna undetour away from Clit Town. back to our regularly scheduled programming. What was your first job?
My first job.
Yeah, and how old were you? And how much did you make? Because I know the minimum wage is different everywhere, right? State by state?
Right. The first job that I remember, and I'm sure there was like some odd jobs, me doing, you know, yard work here or there.
Right.
But like my first job that like I did in some sort of a regular capacity with the company, I'm pretty sure was I worked at a distribution center for Miller Lite on weekends.
Okay.
And I think I was 16 or 17.
Are you allowed to handle alcohol if you're not serving it?
No, definitely not.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not. I don't know how exactly we got these jobs.
I was going to say, do you have a friend, like
it was
a family
like a friend's
friend?
Dad who had the hookup, whatever. But yeah. I worked at Miller Lite I worked at a distribution center for Miller Lite in Rockford. And I made $8.75, which was significantly higher than
minimum wage.
Yeah. I don't know how I finessed or finangled this thing at all. And if you're wondering if I was mature enough at the age of 16 or 17 to handle beer and be in the back of like liquor areas unsupervised, no. We drank a lot. We drank a lot. And the only reason I'm like, comfortable saying that now is because I'm pretty sure we're beyond the statute of limitations at this point.
Right. Well, I feel like if a case like breaks and kind of opens, like,
if a case does break, but the problem was if there were no broken cases, you fucking bet there were a couple broken cases by the time we left.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, accidents happen.
Yeah.
Accidents happen. And so that's 16.
That was 16, 17. Yeah. A couple years.
Okay.
It was, and like, I will always remember the way, like, because you're in the Northern Illinois and like during Christmas time or holidays, and every holiday for the most part is in a fucking cold time when you're in the North. Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine, all fucking cold. Super Bowl, all the drinking holidays in particular, cold.
Oh, right, because it was cold in like cold, the actual cooler thing.
And I'll always remember like being in the back of the truck outside and being so excited to leave the outside air and go into the freezer because the freezer was fucking warmer than it was outside in the negative 30 degree weather that we were dealing with.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Canada just as cold.
And if I had it to do all over again, I would take that job. It paid, you know, pretty well at the time, and I thought it was pretty cool, and I always had a case of beer. And it's always something to be like, you know, I knew at the age of like 17 or 18, I didn't want to be in that line of work.
Right.
Because I was in that line of work.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really takes, there's nothing like motivation than actually doing that job to make you not want to do that job ever again.
Right.
Yeah. To work hard so that you're never in that position again.
What was your first job?
My first job when I was 15 was under the table at, and I don't know why they hired, I mean, they probably loved the idea of being able to pay me under the table.
Right.
Was this small ice cream shop that was just like in this little touristy area in my hometown.
Cute.
And for anyone that's listening who happens to live in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, it was in Port Dalhousie, which is like this tiny, cute little touristy town.
Are you going to like just like call them out for just completely
disregarding the IRS? They're not there anymore.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And
whatever the IRS is it called IRS in Canada?
I don't know.
Internal Revenue Service?
Oh, CRA.
What's that stand for?
Canadian Revenue Agency? Revenue Agency?
The CRA?
The CRA, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Shout out CRA.
I still get scary mail from IRS and CRA.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hate that.
So you got paid cash?
So I got paid
for
cash.
For scooping ice cream. I bet you could give one hell of a hand job with those fucking muscles you built up.
Honestly, the right hand, I truly like on my forearm of my right hand was stronger than my left, and there was a visible muscle.
I assure you, all 6% of the guys that listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah, well, I feel as if most people know that like everyone's dominant hand when you're male is
a little bit stronger.
A little stronger.
And not to, God damn it, we're going to digress into sex town.
Here we go.
And also, we're not covering masturbation on this podcast episode cuz we'll probably do it later. I can't masturbate with my left hand.
I mean, why would you if you have a right hand if that's your dominant hand?
It would make clicking the pointer on a computer a lot easier.
Why?
Guys, that's for us. We need to go anywhere else.
Oh my God. Anyways, I got paid under the table at this ice cream place and I worked there in the summer. And did you get allowance growing up?
Yes.
Did you have to do chores for it?
Yes. I think I got a weekly allowance and I'm pretty sure that the allowance was equal to my age. So like when I was 5, I got like $5 for cleaning. When I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Are you kidding me?
And I was like, I would like clean the weekends. Mom would give me like 7, 8, 9, 10 bucks.
So when you were 10, you got $10 a week?
Yeah.
When you were 15, you got $15 a week?
Yeah.
Wow. Rich. Rich.
Was I rich?
You were rich.
I was cleaning toilets, so.
Oh my God. So my allowance was, and this, I don't think it ever changed year by year. Like there was no
inflation.
I didn't get any, no inflation. No, I didn't get promoted.
No cost of living increase?
No.
No way. No,
no
cola.
No. I got $5 a week, but when I started getting allowance, we immediately went to the bank and opened up a checking account and a savings account. And
it was 20 a month or 25 a month.
Please hold. And so I would get $5 a week. Mm. 1 week goes into checking. I can spend whatever I want with that checking account.
Okay.
Next week, savings account. Can't touch that account. That's for college. That's for my future.
Got it.
That's for big investments.
Okay.
And then next week back to checking. So spending, I made about $10 a month.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will say that my parents, although, frugal in allowance, I didn't do a ton of chores, I would say. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And
okay. It's like more like an unemployment check.
It was like an unemployment check. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I also too, like if I was going to go somewhere with like a friend's family for the day, like they would give me money to like buy lunch and stuff like that. So it was money as needed when I was going somewhere that might require money. But in terms of like learning how to be frugal, I know exactly where that comes from in my childhood.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I would love to hear what the going rate for allowance is today.
I know. Oh my God. Ooh, how much did you get from the Tooth Fairy?
I don't remember, but I do remember a time where I was...
Wait. Okay, so as a Canadian, also fun fact, Jeremy, I have a fun story. So Tooth Fairy, we would get loonies underneath our pillow, which is a dollar in Canadian money for any Americans who have never seen a loonie or a toonie. And Jeremy, for a long time, similar to Heimlich Remover, thought that it was a twoie, a oneie and a two, no, a loonie and a twoie. A oneie and a twoie. That's so cute though.
You're not making fun of me?
What?
You done making fun of me?
I mean, I don't think anything could outshine the Heimlich Remover, so I think you're fine. You'll survive.
The Heimlich Remover kind of sounds like a thief in the night. Like, oh, Heimlich. Who came? It was the Heimlich Remover. Yeah. Yeah, I did think it was a oneie and a twoie, because like one...
Anyway. It does make sense, as does the remover.
A loonie and a twoie, I guess.
A loonie and a twoie, yeah.
I'm fucked up in the head about it.
Yeah, well, there is a loon on the coin of a...
Which is a bird, a loonie.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Got it. Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think it was a couple bucks.
So you would get just like dollar bills underneath your pillow?
I think it was a combination. I think it was whatever mom had in her purse.
So some weeks are better than others?
Could be a couple bucks, could be a couple quarters. It's hard to say.
Oh, okay.
And also, is a molar the same as an incisor? Hard to say.
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say that I had one less to lose, so.
That's tough.
I got fucked there.
Well, at least you made a shit ton of allowance. Rich fuck.
Yeah, sure. I also remember I would stash if I knew I had like needed to like buy something. Uh-huh. I got, I don't know how much money I got for lunch every day, like 10 bucks or something.
You got 10 bucks a day for lunch?
I think 5 to 10 or whatever. I don't remember.
Oh my God. So my mom made my lunch every day, which obviously is amazing, but I was allowed to buy lunch once a week on Friday and I would get $5, which doesn't buy you much.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. But also private school, high school. I feel like things were just more expensive.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's JUVEDERM.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history to severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or take medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
How old were you when you had your first job then?
15. And then I worked every year past that.
Year long, like during the school year as well, or just in the summers, or?
Yeah. I mean, combination of both. So at 15, I worked at the ice cream place in Port Dalhousie, scooping ice cream under the table. And then when I went into school, I think when I was 16, what grade are you in when you're 16? 10?
Sophomore, I think, yeah.
I don't know what that means. I think 10, right?
Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. It's the same thing you have in college.
We don't call it that in college either.
What do you call it then?
I don't
13, 14, 15, 16?
First year, second year, third year, fourth year.
What? Why? That makes no sense.
No, it does make a lot of sense. It's very straightforward. First year, second year, third year, fourth year. There's no confusion there.
I feel like you have a couple friends and family members who have taken 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. So what do you call them then?
Well, in high school, you'd call it either 12B or a victory lap.
Well, victory lap, that's universal language. But I'm saying if you took 7 years to take an undergrad, do you really call it, I'm in year seven?
No, I think it'd still be like just compared to what year of courses you're in. So even if it took you 6 years, you're still like, oh,
I'm in year two.
I'm in year two.
Which is 34. Year two.
I'm in year two. Shut up.
Meanwhile, people are like, oh, I'm in year seven. They're like, oh, okay. Are you like the master's, your doctorate?
Yeah. No,
associate.
No. Yeah, that's what I mean. Anyways, I 15. And then I think when I was 16, I started working in a grocery store as like a front end person. So at the cashier, eventually I got promoted to fast lanes, which was so much fun. Because that was just like touching buttons. And I didn't actually have to like really pack groceries.
To be fair, all you were doing there was just looking for men.
Right. Yeah. I found my first two boyfriends in the produce department at the grocery store I worked at.
Right.
So I worked at that grocery store and that was after school, cause that was just around the corner from my high school. So it was very convenient for like part-time work. And then I also worked one day a week at the music studio teaching little kids piano and guitar, which was like really cute. And that was 4 hours after school every like Tuesday or something.
Got it. And oddly enough, we both had that job.
Yeah. That's so random.
So what was your rate?
My rate would have been whatever minimum wage was.
Really?
Yeah, I think
Damn.
So. No? Yeah?
I don't know.
Did you make more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Damn.
I starting probably age 17, was charging 30 bucks for a...
my God.
But for like a half hour.
Oh, I probably would have made...
You know what? It was probably 20 bucks for a half hour and then like... 35, 40 for an hour.
Oh, I probably made that my entire night of working.
Yikes. You got to be better at this business then.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I made minimum wage for a long time. And then when I started serving, server's minimum wage is even lower because you get tips. And that's when I never looked back when I started serving. The first place I served at, I did a year of hostessing and tips not great. You're like the last person to get tipped out on hostessing.
Right. Well, you're like,
not really doing anything.
Okay, you're doing something, but like...
You're doing something for sure, but you, like most people, I feel like hostess first, so that you can get promoted to server once you know like the table layouts. And then my second year, I served for 2 years at this one restaurant. Oh my God, this was probably my worst job that I've ever had. It was in Niagara Falls, so like the touristy of all
tourist
areas. Yeah, oh, that's right. We had a drink there. Yeah, I took you back there. And there are exactly 27 stairs in between the first floor and the second floor. And, you know, everything would be fine if you got to keep your section just on one floor. And your section was on one floor, but it was really fun because the kitchen was on second floor and the bar was on first floor. So typically when you dine at a restaurant, people need drinks and food. So I probably had the nicest legs that I've ever had in my entire life. Those 2 summers that I worked serving at, shout out Shoeless Joe's. I remember when I interviewed for it, I called it like a sports bar and he is like, no, this is family dining. This is family dining. And you refer to it as nothing but family dining. And then I was also forced into wearing yoga pants and a low cut top. So like the family dining thing was a little questionable at the time.
You know, something for mom, something for dad.
Yeah, something for mom, something for dad. But I did make hella tips. I worked pretty much from like 10 a.m. until maybe like midnight, six days a week. And I have never worked harder in my entire life than the summers that I worked at Shoeless Joe's.
Yeah, I feel like once I figured out that my music side of things paid a little bit better for like than in like high school, so like I could work an hour or two or whatever.
Right.
That's when like I literally set up a studio in my basement. Shout out Donna for allowing me to have 2 drum sets and like several fucking things that made the entire neighborhood go fucking crazy because it was so loud.
Marimba, we're looking at you.
Marimba, some vibes, xylophone, the whole thing, right? And so I set that up and I remember I was like teaching drums and singing or whatever.
Wait, that's very entrepreneurial of you.
Yeah. I mean, like something that I want to like even touch on this podcast is that like, I think that I had an unhealthy obsession with making more money. I did not have the right obsession with making more money without having to invest in things to get there. Cause like, not too long ago, I was like looking at prices of like drum sets and marimbas and like things that I thought were very, very expensive at the time. And they still are, don't get me wrong. But like when you didn't have the money and you're like, oh, if I just had these two drum sets and this and that, then I'd be able to have students or whatever. But it's like, well, just because you are able to like find one or two students doesn't mean you can find 30 or 40 of them, mm-hmm. even if you buy them. So mm-hmm. I feel like I was like spending all this money and was very much set up in like an entrepreneurial sense for like a 16-year-old, but it was like a lot of overhead to right. keep up for a fucking child.
Wait, that's so smart. So you ran, they didn't have to like pay out the studio.
Well, that's the thing. So I started at a studio and then I realized I'm spending, like they're getting 40% just for having the lights on.
Right.
I'm like, I own 3/4 of the shit anyway. Let me just buy the rest of it and set it up in my basement.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the big piece, and I was resistant to this in the beginning, but what you realize when you're a 17 or 18 year old kid is that moms and dads that are paying for you to teach their kids
yeah.
a similar rate as they could, someone who's 60 or 65.
Right.
It's not so they don't care about the drums. They care about the fact that there's going to be an hour where a 17-year-old kid that the kid looks up to
yeah.
is going to spend with them.
And like thinks that they're cool. Cause I'm sure they thought you were like the coolest shit ever.
So what I realized was, and I'm like, I didn't like babysitting, but the idea of I'll even come pick your kid up and drop him off or whatever.
You had pickup, you had valet service.
Oh yeah. 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 Or grabbing kids like, okay, I'll get done with school and then I'll pick up your kid. I'll bring him back to your place. To your place, because you work till 5 or 6 or 7,
yeah,
right? I'll
yeah.
come back. We'll do an hour and a half lesson or whatever,
uh-huh.
and then I'll head out whenever you get there. And the cash tips that I would get
oh,
from that,
my God,
unreal.
How have we never talked about this before? Wow, that's so smart. That is so smart.
Yeah,
yeah. I definitely had like the same addiction to like making more money. Like the service that I provided to tables. Oh my God.
Would you describe it as generous?
The word generous has been just been like forever, a little tainted for me now.
No, was it generous service?
Yeah, I was generous, but I was really good at being flexible for my customer. You know what I mean? So if
true,
you have...
You're certainly not flexible anymore.
Truly. But if it was like an entire baseball team, like I remember one night I got assigned to this baseball team that came in, there was like 20 dudes and my entire job that night was just to keep them happy and drinking and fed. And they tipped me, I think, $300 that night because they just had like this insane tab. So even 15% on their tab
right.
might have been $300. But those were like the best nights. Cause not only was like it fun, they like low key, they like not, they kind of turned a blind eye if like someone wanted you to drink with them in like that kind of scenario.
Right.
And so there I was like on hour 11 of like already doing the lunch service and then doing the dinner service and then doing the baseball service and drinking. And it was, yeah.
So as a server, did you ever give someone your number?
No, I think I had a boyfriend. I've just been like a serial dater my entire life. So I don't think there was a time where I was ever like looking to also connect with people.
How many numbers did you get?
More than 5, less than 10.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. It's a solid number.
Yeah. Well, cause I mean the customer, you know, like base of the people that were coming in were all over because
right.
it is such a touristy place. And also it was so interesting too, because, like tipping around the world is so different everywhere you go.
Right.
And so depending on where they had come in from, like even if you gave the best service, you might get $0 tip because it's just like not part of their culture to do that. And I mean, like personally, I try and, you know, like acclimate to whatever the tipping culture is, wherever I am. But mm-hmm. some people just don't do that. And
okay.
that's okay.
That's fine.
That's okay. I definitely do still have dreams now to this day of having too many tables and not being able to like fulfill all of like my orders and get to all the tables and everyone's mad. And it's a nightmare that I probably have like once every 6 months still based on my history of serving. Ooh, I did serve at this really fun place that was like an Irish bar and I got to wear this like cute little plaid skirt. I wouldn't go as far as saying it was a kilt, but it was a really cute plaid skirt.
Have you ever
skirt.
Been to Tilted Kilt?
My place was called the Kilt and Clover.
Oh, the Tilted Kilt is...
The Tilted Kilt?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a fun name.
Yeah,
this place was great. It was...
It's Hooters with kilts.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the boobies to work at Hooters, but the Kilt and Clover...
I think Hooters is accessory agnostic now.
Maybe.
Features up, features down.
Maybe.
All the place.
Sure.
How does Hooters exist in 2020?
Literally, I don't know. But yeah, I got to wear like a cute little beer shirt and like a little cute plaid skirt. And it was fun. I mean, honestly, like there's...
We could
I feel
recreate
like,
that.
We... Sure. Yeah. We could. We could. That is a thing that we could do.
I'll put on the old Miller uniform. We'll go at it.
Oh my God. Yeah, but no, I feel like serving, even though it is like crazy hard work in terms of just like memory. I was someone who wrote all my orders down because I just like didn't want to mess up. I like didn't even want to risk it. Like I probably could have memorized, and I feel like people love that and they think it's really impressive, but I feel like it's more impressive when you just like don't fuck someone's order up because people are automatically mad when that happens.
Right.
But yeah, it was so much fun, even though like it was crazy hard work and really long hours, and the minimum wage, I think at the time was like 8.20 was server wage, and the rest of the world was making like 10 something.
I can tell you right now, I don't think the world's making 10 something right now.
No, sorry. Like the rest of my friends in Canada, in around even Ontario, just working minimum wage jobs, I think minimum wage was 10 something. And then I was making 8.20 as server hourly wage, and then tips on top of that.
So was that your worst job, or what was your worst job?
I mean, I think in terms of like stress, serving was the hardest job. Honestly, those 27 stairs, like that really fucked me up that summer. Like I was in probably the best shape, but also just like the most mentally deteriorated because I was working like 60 to 70 hours a week. Like I saw no one that summer. I think I left that summer making like 12K, and that was like gonna last me more than the like college year that I was going into. Cause like during college, I would work the summer and then go back to school and then just like do school. And would just like budget out whatever I made in the summer. But yeah, I've never busted ass harder than I have at that job.
When did you start making money on YouTube?
I didn't start making actual money until I was in third year university.
Got it. So you had a job up until third year?
Yeah, I had a job all the way up to, I would say fourth year. Yeah. So I had to do an internship and stuff. And I think—
Were you paid for that though?
What?
Were you paid for the internship?
Yeah. Okay. It was a paid internship. Yeah. I think it was, up until third year, I worked from 15 until 21. When did you graduate? 21, I think.
22.
Yeah. So I would have worked 15 until 21.
22 to 30, 24, 25.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Are internships like all unpaid or paid in Canada?
I mean, I think it's the same as here. It's like they differ.
I mean, they're not supposed to be unpaid anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's like not very frowned upon. Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest thing when in college, the thought of having an unpaid internship was that's where I guess like knowing that I grew up like middle class where I was from and going to college, seeing people take unpaid internships made me realize that was the next level of privilege.
Oh, you could afford to do an unpaid internship?
Yeah. Don't, hey, no worries. Go ahead and put yourself in a career path to set yourself up for success.
Right.
Because everything else is taken care of. That's where I knew. I was like, this nepotism thing. I see where it's going to start.
Oh my God. That's so, I've never thought about it like that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
When I came out to LA, that was the biggest thing that I noticed. Like I saw it in college. Like, okay, cool. You can like pick which internship or I'm working over here or this or that. Like the name was more important than like the money that was coming in. Like that was not going to be my reality. And then coming out to LA and seeing the amount of people that like, I mean, the idea of mailroom, that's the closest thing to an unpaid internship as it gets. And so like you are making like the very first question that like WME and CAA and UTA and Paradigm, they all ask you is like, this is the rate, call it, you know, $13.50 or whatever. Are you comfortable making $13.50? We need to hear that you confirm that before we even move on with the interview.
Right. Which are talent agencies, by the way, in Los Angeles, if you're not familiar with that.
Right. My bad.
Yeah.
But the idea of just like the internship that pays nothing, but like sets you up and gives you like the, your next to the action, you're close to it, whatever. And just like, you can sit there and just wait until an opening pops up.
I'm just like, that was never gonna be the case. Of a go-getter to like settle for that. I don't think
I was too much of a go-getter, but also was like, I'm sorry, how much are you gonna pay? I can't afford to live like that.
Right,
so
right.
That's not an option for me. And even though like some of those jobs are interesting to me, it was never gonna be, that was not gonna be the way I was gonna get there.
Totally.
So I was like, well, fuck, can't do that.
So you went to a private school. So does that mean that like your peers?
I went to private high school.
Private high school. Right. Private high school. So like what was like, I feel like we both grew up middle class. Mm-hmm. What were like the classes of like your school? I feel like it's so interesting, like hearing people's backgrounds about like the people that they grew up with and like the scale on like which their school is kind of at.
Right. I think that in Rockford has a really hard time figuring out their education system.
Okay.
I would go so far to say is that it's fucking, it's been one of the worst in the nation, many times on the public side. Private was very much just like, better than that.
I see.
And I feel like I was one of the less affluent people at a private school, meaning that like, even if you're less affluent there, you're going to be more affluent than the average person on the public school side. But like the everything that I saw for the most part was like, oh, they all have more money than me.
Right.
But I think that was a much more realistic way to grow up, in the sense of just like, okay, this is all achievable. You don't have access to it now, but you could.
Right.
But it's not going to be handed to you.
Right.
So it's like an interesting mix between the two.
I mean, I think honestly, being middle class, I think is a very like I'm so blessed, and I think I'm grateful, honestly. Like, I think that you learn so much being middle class, because it's like you have the base necessities filled. And like, if I was going to take an unpaid internship, like my parents could have figured it out. And I'm sure if the opportunity had been like so insane that we couldn't say no, they would, you know, pay for the things that I wouldn't be able to afford had I not worked in the summer. But we didn't have things handed to us, I think, which teaches you so many core skills that you carry throughout your life.
I mean, absolutely. And I also think it just like, especially once you leave high school and no one's like telling you how to operate and live and exist, that's when it shows.
Yeah.
The amount of my like wealthy friends that I feel like are still only existing because their parents are going to allow them to exist like that.
Right.
Far outweighs the amount of people that like started on the opposite end of the scale and just like, oh, I'll just accept that what it is. Like they were fighters. They got through that shit.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. You learn how to bust ass.
Yeah.
I feel like I had like, so kindergarten, I went to a private kindergarten, a Montessori or whatever.
Oh, where your artistic abilities came from.
Like literally, I think back to what I was learning in kindergarten and it's insane. Like I learned how to cursive write. We spoke French for an hour every day. And like, it was like the free learning structure. Mm-hmm. So like I would go color a world map and then I'd go read about dinosaurs in the corner in the reading
My
nook.
ADHD self would have just been like, I'm going to do this. Get about 35% through everything.
Yeah.
Finish nothing. Uh-huh. And then at the end, you're like, I'm done.
But I think that's okay though. I think that's like what they, I mean, like, I don't really know anything about it. I was in kindergarten, did 1 year, but like I learned how to sew a button onto fabric. And then I don't remember what the initial like swap was to go to public school, but I ended up going to public school from, I mean, grade one up until college. And my first school was a grade one until six at elementary. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was in not like a rough neighborhood, but it was in like a lower to middle class. And I think, again, you learn so much and you see so much. My middle school was only grade 7 to 8 and same thing, lower to middle class. And then when I went to high school, I did French immersion, which is where you go to a school that offers all of your classes in French. So it wouldn't have been like...
Is that your choice, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah.
You wanted to do that.
Yeah. I can't speak a word of French anymore.
Right.
That's not true, but like basically.
Right. Like I was thinking to myself, was that like a thing that like your mom was like, I think you should really do it.
Well, so you know what happens is that like you have to commit to that in grade six. So you start in grade 7 and 8. And even if you hate it, you can like switch over obviously to like the English program.
Right.
But I had done the French immersion grade 7 and 8. So the friends that I had made in my French program, we were all going to go to this other school outside of our like school district. And also, if you get good grades, I think people just expect you to like try and push yourself and do something harder.
You should do it in French.
Right. Like, let's do what you're going to do, but now in a new language that you don't know. And so that was my high school. And this high school was like in a middle to upper class area.
Ooh, moving up.
Yeah, moving on up. So like Range Rovers in the parking lot and like Jaguars and all this stuff and like all the fancy cars and stuff. And it was so interesting because it did have that French immersion program. It was like kids coming in from all over St. Catharines. So maybe it wasn't even, I would say middle to upper class still.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see and make friends with people who were just in like a total different class, I guess, than I was. And again, super middle class. Like we went on family vacations and stuff. Like I had a great life growing up. But I mean, we were by no means like rich.
Right.
And it was just so interesting as I started being friends with some of these other girls who had like crazy houses and had all like a ton of cars and stuff. It was so nuts to see that experience. So I mean, like, I think that I had such like a scale to see and learn from that I don't know, it shapes you.
Well, it does. And I also think that there's a world where growing up not on the East or West Coast, like meaning like New York, Boston, Philly, DC, or like LA, San Francisco, or whatever, there's a completely different world between the two coasts in America that I think everyone forgets about unless they lived or live in those coasts. Like we live in a bubble.
Oh, and yeah. LA?
Live in a bubble.
Totally.
Every time I go to the grocery store here, in comparison to what it would be like elsewhere,
yeah.
It's night and day. Yeah. Like my idea for how much things cost is probably it's conflated to the nth degree at this point.
Unless you're Trader Joe's.
Right, of course. but like just thinking about that, I think it just like, I'm so glad that I was prepared in the Midwest and moved to the coast,
right.
Not vice versa.
Right.
And like,
I
speak to my friends out here sometimes who like speak of things as if they're just like facts. And I'm like, yeah, that's true here.
Yeah, but everywhere else.
That's not the case elsewhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is definitely a bubble. And also too, there's so many, especially like being in like the YouTube community, there's so many people that have come into money now because of, you know, the online fame or whatever you want to call it. But I'm so glad that I had like a very grounded and modest life growing up before you come into this. I can't imagine either starting rich and ending rich and just like how that would change me. I don't know. It like makes me a little like not nervous, but like, I'm just grateful for like having that entire.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, do you think you had a quality education growing up?
I think so. I would say so. I mean, I think so. I think also to like the public schools that we had in St. Catharines, like I know obviously they vary per region and district, country, whatever. But I think I went to a good public school. We obviously had like a few, oh my God, we need to do a whole episode on like high school scandals. Did you have scandals at your high school?
Yeah.
Like teacher-student relationship types of scandals and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should do an episode on that. Just reminded me a bunch of stuff.
I don't know if those are outside the statute of limitations though, but yeah, we'll try and dive in.
We'll try and dive into that.
No, cause like I loved high school. Mm-hmm. I think it was a ton of fun. I think my high school sucked.
Really? Why?
I think that there's a lot. I think there's so much fucking wrong with education.
I mean, yeah, but I think that's also a lot of schools.
Yeah. But like the way that my brain works and the way that I feel like I learned best mm-hmm. was, so counterintuitive to the way that everything was just like, well, this is how it is and that's how it's going to be.
Right.
And it's just like, I certainly, as someone who got 7/8 of the way through college and had great grades and like should have finished, like I dropped out and I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
One semester left, I don't care. And I think the reason I feel that way is that, like, I almost want to stick it to the system in the sense that like, there are so many ways to go about getting knowledge and a lot of people don't have the benefit of, oh, I'll just spend money for 4 years, 5 years, not make any or not make enough. And when I come up with a degree, I'll wait even longer because eventually I've got the means to figure out how to make it work. That's not how a lot of people are. And I think that we need to be a lot more forgiving of that and figure out a system to say, if you are willing to work hard and learn along the way,
there are positions
for you. And like, if there's anything that I hope that comes out of like the internet and people having to be home and not have to like travel and all these things with coronavirus, I hope that we found a way for like more people of more means to make similar types of earnings without having to do 5, 10, 20 years of school.
Yeah. No, for sure. I totally agree. I will say that my university experience was so much memorization, memorization that I would spend, you know, 48 hours before a test memorizing, I would dump that knowledge onto a test, you know, get 80 to 90%. And the minute I walked out that classroom door, I dumped it. Like, thank God I did not have to go into the industry that I went to school for, because I know nothing, literally nothing.
I mean, like, as someone who, I feel like in high school, I thought it was just so stupid. And like, I looked at the way that anyone who's in school or has been in school recently can relate to the fact that like the multiple choice or filling in the blank or whatever, there's an answer the teacher's looking for. And if you don't fill in that answer, you're wrong.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And
it's
let
like,
me
it's very
explain
black and white.
To you, for everyone who's frustrated that way or thinks creatively, that's not how the world works.
Right.
My job is to challenge people every single day and convince them to buy something they didn't even know existed before I got on the phone with them. Mm-hmm. School will not teach you how to do that. And I think there's just like, it's so important for people that are like struggling and trying to figure out, oh, if I just work really hard, I'll make it or whatever. It's not always the case.
Yeah. I feel like, so in Canada, we've got college and university, and university is...
Right. And what's the difference between...
So in Canada, university is your 4-year degree. You get your bachelor degree. You go to university to get your master's, your any kind of like grad degree, and college is typically 2 years and you receive a diploma. They also have like, No, like hybrid programs now too, where you do a few years at college and a few years at university and you come out with a bachelor degree and it's longer.
Got it.
But college is always, I feel like, at least when I was in high school and they were putting us through like the careers classes, that college is more hands-on. And I absolutely should have gone to college. Like, I don't regret anything and I don't want anything to have changed because I hated my program. I was depressed. And then I started my YouTube channel and here we are now. But I should have gone to a more hands-on program that was like, you just experience more, I feel like. And maybe I'm totally wrong because I did not go to college in Canada.
Right.
But it just felt like it was so much more hands-on. And I feel like there was a stigma around it that like, if you're smart, you go to university.
I mean, that's the same in America.
And unless there was a specific trade that you had already like decided that you wanted to go to college for, and there was like a very clear path there, is that if you had good grades, you were just ushered to go to university versus college.
Right. Well, it's similar in America, but like when I went to the University of Kentucky, right? So my first, I went to a community college called Rock Valley College. Mm-hmm. It was 2-year degree, associates, whatever. I went there for a year knowing I was never going to graduate from there. I picked that because I knew that things would transfer to wherever I wanted to go to.
Right.
Right. So I left there after a year and transferred those credits to the University of Kentucky. And I initially enrolled in the College of Music.
Okay.
At the University of Kentucky and then transferred to the College of Business and Economics.
Okay.
At the University of Kentucky. So I think my degree would have been from University of Kentucky, like the College of, I think it's a degree from both. Like I got a degree from the college that was a part of the University of Kentucky.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about like the American school system.
But then I said, fuck it. And I left with like 15 classes left. And my mother, 15 like credits left. And my mother said, why? Why do you do this to me? Why do you do this? And I said, Mom, I'm going to be a businessman in LA. I can't delay. I must go.
I must go now.
I must go now. I have the calling.
Do you still have like a little bit of school debt, right?
No, it's gone.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Wow, congratulations. I feel like that's like a massive feat, no?
Well, I'd kept on to it because like my money guy was like, you're going to take a hit on your credit score if you pay that off.
Oh, yeah. I do remember us talking about this when you decided to stop paying just like the little bit because you thought it was like helping, but it's actually hurting
your
credit. Well,
I kept it for so long. It's just like some minimal amount of just like, okay, I'll keep it then. Because they were saying like if I didn't have that many revolving accounts. I don't know. Personal finance, what a hell of a class that I should have taken.
Yeah, I feel like I did take a personal finance class and we didn't learn anything.
Yeah, yeah. I do my own taxes though.
That's that makes me want to throw up.
It probably will make me want to throw up when I get audited in 5 years. I'm like, you didn't do any of this right. They'll look through it and they go, you didn't try to cheat.
You didn't try, but...
Or,
but,
you know what I think though? I think I'm paying way too much in taxes. That's why I'm going to have to fucking stop doing it.
I think I pay too much in taxes as well. For a different reason. Anyways.
I want to hop back into money real quick.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have like a milestone or like a thought of like how much money you would make as a kid before you started making money?
Oh yeah, for sure. Do you remember,
what was it?
I remember being like, if I can make over 80 grand a year, like that is rich and that is more than enough that I'll ever need. I think based on just like what my parents made and what like I thought like my expenses would be based on like where I would live. I think I was considering 80K though in my hometown, in like small hometown where it's like you can buy a nice house for like $400,000.
Right.
And just like everything is much more affordable versus like if I were to have stayed in Toronto. But growing up, I definitely was like $80,000 a year is like my benchmark for success.
Isn't it funny that you have like that number? Like who knows where 80 grand came from?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are pretty open about their finances with me, or maybe I was just like a curious child and just was like, Mom, how much do you make?
Right.
And so I had like based what my goals were based off like how we as a family were very happy and what they were making. Right. And like, I felt like there was things that like I couldn't not do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, I didn't feel like we were limited as a family. Like, we were all very happy. We could still afford to go on vacations. Everyone had, you know, a suitable car.
Yeah, I think my mom having a single income and then having a stepdad come in for a few years that she made way more money than put us on this weird roller coaster of like,
oh, interesting.
Of going from doing fine to like, oh, how is this going to work? And then like college was, I think, a lot more scarier for her from a financial standpoint than,
oh my
she,
God,
ever,
yeah.
than she ever alluded to me kind of thing. Cause I think a lot of her stress and when she was very hard on me in high school, like you have to get better grades, you have to get better grades, you have to get better grades. It was because like, otherwise you're not going to be able to afford to go to school cause I can't help you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think because she works, she's a court reporter, a stenographer for the state of Illinois. And I feel like she works around like lawyers and judges and people that are making more money than mm-hmm. her. And I think she constantly had to like look up at the sense of just like of how they were going to do it, and knowing that she didn't have access or those options.
Right.
That stressed her the fuck out.
Right.
But like I the thought of six figures as a child, I think, was this like insurmountable, I'll never get there, but it would be really cool if kind of thing.
Totally.
That I don't know where that materialized out of.
I know.
Just,
I know.
That was just a thought.
I know. Well, I think also too, it's like when you're making minimum wage and you're busting ass after school and you're like, if I did this every day for 8 hours, 40 hours a week, and I'm making, I think it was $27,000 a year when I was working minimum wage. If it's right. like, if I worked a whole year and this is what I'm doing and I make $27,000 and I feel like I can't do this, this, and afford this, then it's like, I know that I need to make more than this. And right. I think that's like where it comes from too, is like, and I think like, I definitely like, if we were to spawn a child, like having a job as a kid and a teenager.
I like
teenager,
how you call it a spawn a child still at this point. Spawns. Not have a kid, but if we were to spawn a little alien. I do want to bring back from last, I think it was last week. I hate kids.
I don't hate babies. I don't hate babies. Go listen to the last episode. Anyways, if we were to spawn a child, like, I just think that like having a job is so character building and shaping. It's so important because it really teaches you the value of hard work and like earning money and balancing your finances. And it's so crazy to think about how some of my peers, especially those who like started YouTube at a young age, just like go from being in high school to like making millions of dollars every year. Like, that is such an insane thought to me. And I can't imagine like skipping the years of like working for next to nothing. And not, I don't know, like, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Like, imagine being 16, or like, imagine if I was 15 and I was making my $5 savings. You know what? I think my mom's gonna be so mad also if I get the story wrong. I think my allowance did go up to $10 at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. I know my mom is at home listening, like being so mad that like, I'm not doing her justice in like what I was given an allowance.
But it wasn't about what you were given. It's about what you did with it. And look at you.
And look at me.
Balancing budgets. Actually, you don't really balance the budget.
Frugal as ever.
Somebody else says all that.
Yeah, for sure. As they should. I should not be trusted to balance my own books right. and stuff like that.
I distinctly remember the only financial milestone that is in my memory in my mm-hmm. entire life is not around making money at all. I'll always remember the milestone that like that I feel like characterizes my financial like well-being at this point is the time that I was in the grocery store and I was putting things in my cart mm-hmm. and I realized when I got to the checkout I hadn't been adding the dollar amount up of what I was putting in the cart because
right.
I knew I had enough money at the time
yeah.
that wouldn't bounce my account.
Right.
That.
Insufficient funds.
That, yeah, right. ISF.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. Like, yeah. No,
that was the day that I was really the only memory in my entire life of like, right. I've made it.
Right.
That was, and it seems so, and it still seems large now. Honestly, that was like the moment like coming out and like in LA and like figuring things out was like, I've done it. This is great.
I can eat without having to count my dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like that was a huge milestone.
I think, YouTube money is just so weird because it's such a new industry. It feels like it could be fleeting. So I save and spend a lot of times with the mindset that this could be gone tomorrow. And I think that's why it's so important to like invest and be smart with your money and not go and just like drop thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on designer things every single day. Because like, I've just shaped my perspective on like internet money as something that like, we don't know what the future of it is. Like when AdSense and YouTube had its whole thing where advertisers went down for like a little bit, what was that called again?
Adpocalypse.
And I just feel like it's fleeting. So it's, I spend and save as if as tomorrow I could make $0 and I have to figure out what I'm going to do next. And everything that I have in my account right now is what I have and move forward with. But I spend and save on the idea that it could go away tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't really do that, but
no. But you have a more traditional job.
Well, kind of. I work in tech.
Yeah, but like I don't have a contract with an employer that says that I'm going to make this amount of dollars for this.
State of California, at will employee. I can be fired for anything. But yes, I agree. I have a skill set that is Well, I have a skill set and an experience that more people understand.
Right.
And until AI figures out how to sell products better than me, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. You have a newly found career.
And it can be turbulent.
Well, yeah, your income's all over the place. For sure. Mine's more consistent in the sense. Right. And also health insurance and dental and
what I would give for like health insurance that came with my job. Oh yeah. My God.
But I mean, like I guess the thing is very much like, I think there's a lot of new types of careers and passions and things that will earn someone a paycheck, but it might not necessarily be the career that they have forever. And that's right. Okay.
Yeah, no, totally. For sure.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
"Thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options."
Which is why when you choose USAA Auto Insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
So you're really fucking rich.
Oh my God. So are you.
Yeah, but you're actually rich.
So are you.
No, I'm not.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, I'm Midwest comfortable.
Okay. You'd be more rich if you didn't spend so much goddamn money on our speakers and sound system downstairs.
Well, that's
just want to put that out there.
That's obviously a non-negotiable. No, but okay. So disclaimer, we live in a bubble.
Yes.
And I work in tech and I'm the poor one in the relationship. So speaks really more to you. But something that isn't like, I think we talked about this when like I paid rent and like that was in a conversation we had to have, but a conversation that has been more stressful in the past and I think is a big stress point in everybody else's relationship is throughout school and having student debt and like trying to figure out whatever is like when one person in a relationship is on another planet financially than the other one and like transitioning and growing up and like showing your fucking old habits from like how you grew up, how that all kind of comes to life in the middle of a relationship. That is some shit people deal with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's tough too, because like when you go into a relationship and just say you start living with someone, you're paying rent and you're paying bills like groceries, phone bill, whatever it is. I feel like everyone goes into it being like, this needs to be 50-50 because 50-50 is fair. It's half you, half me.
In a zero sum game. Absolutely.
In a zero sum game. Exactly. Yes. It's 50-50, but there's just so many other layers to it.
Yeah. Like the layer where you make a lot more money than me.
Sure. But the layer that you have health insurance and a more stable job and I'm in a turbulent industry.
You are. But I think that's something that we get right. And this is not something that I think is, maybe we learned it in past relationships. I don't know. Mm. Something we get right is like very good at spending and investing in the same bands where we're at, like together. Like we like to do things together. Mm, we like, if we want to buy something or if I want to buy something like in a together thing, whatever, it's not a 50-50 in the sense of like, oh, let's cut it this way. And sometimes it is, but like if I'm more excited about something or if you're more excited about something and we want to both like participate in it, we both invest or participate in that financially in like our band. If that makes sense.
Right. So here's a great example is that we just bought a squat rack for our gym. And so it's like with that, you have to buy the bar, you have to buy the weights and you buy like the cage that actually holds it.
It's and like, $3,000-$4,000?
Right, $3,000-$4,000. Right. And because that was a purchase that Jeremy wanted, and I was like, you know what? I'm impartial. I don't really need it, but like, would I use it if we had it? Then yes.
Like booty gains.
Yeah. Right. Like I'm down with the booty
gains. Chest gains, that's me.
Sure. Yeah. Chest gains, I would love, you know, one cup size fuller, but I don't think that the squat rack is gonna give that to me.
I was thinking you were like, I would love for you to get on that and make some chest gains. I'll pay some of that for sure.
For the sake of your chest gains. Mm-hmm. No, but because that was a purchase that Jeremy was going to make regardless of whether I was going to chip in or not. I think that we do a great job of like being very fair in the sense that like, well, I know that like I will use it if we have it. So I think I paid for the weights. You bought the cage and the bar and I bought the weights.
But like, I think that it works because we have a natural understanding of that.
Right.
I think it doesn't work when one person is on one planet and is very, very generous about things until they're not.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Right.
It's like, well, we can't do anything because you can't chip
afford
into that.
It. Yeah.
Or on the vice versa, like, oh, we'll do it. Don't worry about it. And then, you know, 15 arguments later, well, you don't really pitch in for anything. So why would I care? So it's like that, like consistent, yeah. like having to like get better or like having to grow. It's okay if you're not on the same 50-50 zero sum game level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay if the person who is greater or lesser than doesn't want to play ball about like growing and progressing at the same rate.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I've definitely had friends who have like YouTube friends who have had issues with that and struggles. I think also too, there's a lot of people, and I think we've touched on this before, about they see the lifestyle that a YouTuber might live and they are, I think one, envious, but also see an opportunity. And I think it happens a lot in LA where there's, you know, a lot of clout chasers and a lot of people who see that the lifestyle might look easy in some.
Well, if you just look at the end result, you don't realize how much of a pain it has to get to there.
Right.
Views come easy. Oh, the views come easy.
Right.
But like, oh, but the cutting, the editing, the being creative, this and that.
Well, and also too, like the 8 years that might've gone into it to get to that point.
Right.
And so I think there are a lot of people too, who are like, well, this person does nothing all day and they make this much passive income. It's right. like, why wouldn't they pay? And they feel as if they deserve, or it's only fair if the person like pays more. And so I don't know. I think there's so many different toxic scenarios. Again, situational.
It is. And also the biggest thing that I think people deal with in the Midwest from where I was is like family money.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like the concept, obviously there's probably a family money out here. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
especially in the South, in Kentucky, there's a lot of people that have had old money. Like, oh, how they make money. Oh, railroads. Like, what?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
their
family has like great horse farms. This, then it's like, oh, that didn't just come overnight. You've had money. And the outside of the painful amounts of racism and sexism of like, just like, oh my God, that still exists. The classism that goes in from just like, well, if you guys are serious about this, we're going to need to get the family lawyer involved. If you're going to need
to
go to the next level. Cause like our family and our state obviously needs to be protected.
Yeah.
And it's like, life is complicated enough trying to figure out how to make more money and get better and like, you know, go to the next level. Can you imagine having somebody else's family put their opinions on that at the same time and like not having to consider that and just going free and not having that impact your day to day? Like, that's tough.
Oh my God. I literally can't even put myself in that scenario of like having the family lawyer.
Thank God. We both come from means of like our parents being like, yeah, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, literally. I know. Oh my God.
Life is stressful.
And I think money is a stressful thing. And like, obviously I am in a very, very grateful position to be able to say like, more money, more problems, but it's like things get easier when you make more money, but there are a lot of things that get harder when you make a lot of money. It's just, everything changes. Things are different.
Things change. I think I'll go back to it again. I think the hardest job to have ever is the single parent trying to make money at the same time. Mm-hmm. I will always think that's the hardest thing in the world.
That's some superhero shit right there.
That's superhero shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
That's all I got. We ended on heavy shit.
Yeah, heavy shit. We started in Clit Town, took a little detour over there to Clit Town for a quick sec.
Yeah.
And literally, we're going to get off this podcast and I'm going to Google what the centimeter difference is from the vagina to the clit to figure out, you know, that situation. And then tonight we will bust out the ruler and measure and figure that situation out for next week. So stay tuned. Riveting content coming at you next week for episode 9? 9?
Not sure.
I don't know. People lost count.
There are so many things that I want people to participate with in this last episode.
Yeah.
I don't even remember them all at this point.
Yeah.
But we will do a good job of hopping in the comments after this one.
Yeah.
And trying to get some reading through, maybe even some responses.
Hell yeah.
I have nothing.
You have nothing.
Wrap this thing.
Okay. All right. Got it.
What podcast has this been?
What?
What podcast has this been?
Ooh, this has been Call Her Daddy.
No.
No? Okay.
No, not that one.
Pretty Basic.
I wish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Remy.
I know. And Alicia? I feel like you just know Remy more.
I haven't heard Alicia enough. I like everything I know about Alicia.
Yeah.
Just Remy and me are boys.
Yeah, you and Remy are boys. All right, well, on that note, hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Wild Till 9. We will see you guys next Tuesday. Send us pictures of your podcast pups and hit us with a yes or no in the comments pertaining to that no context question that we proposed.
How them feet. Bye.
Bye.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment, no maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scars. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.